Good evening all, and welcome to the predictable sucker punch that is the Naked Football Show. Tonight we welcome back the Naked Sports guys themselves, and they are Phil Pritchard.
Good evening.
And someone who claims he didn't attack a woman in Ipswich, the Vulture.
Yeah, that is the work of embittered local hacks, and I am not happy.
Who could that be? And a few more disgruntled voices as his seat disappears into the ground. That's me, disappearing from the mic as my seat
like
just suddenly going into the ground.
South African politician.
A few more disgruntled voices after last night's game, so we'll discuss that, as well as the game at Plymouth, of course, and anything you guys out there would like to contribute. So email, as usual, studio@icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us on our new number, which is 07797 800 712. Okay. Do you want to start about Plymouth and get that one out first, or do you want to start about with last night, guys?
Well, I think first we should, me and you, Graham, should apologise for the
for the
juvenile and offensive messages we left on Glenn Roeder's answer phone the other day. Really, we
you
feel
know his granddaughter.
and apparently he has got a father. We couldn't believe that, but
we really feel sickened by it. Anyway, let's go. That was last night or Plymouth? We all know what everyone's going to say about last night is that we played really well, basically, didn't we? We created chance after chance after chance, missed a penalty, and everybody kind of nudged their mate and went, they're going to bloody score, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they bloody scored, didn't they?
Yeah.
And there you go. So try and say that in two other ways from Phil and the Vulture.
Charlton, one shot, one goal, 1 point. How cutting was that, considering how much we dominated the game?
I was more annoyed. I had a pound on Garvin and 2-0 at 50-1 to get that penalty. I think here we go, 50 notes, and I even had 2-1 as a backup at 7-1, and we didn't get the winner. So, very frustrating.
I think, as Mr. McGill would say, we just got those 2 points. Don't come back and bite us on the bum later in the season. Particularly disappointing because, like I think it's been reported everywhere, and like, as we all know, we were all there. We were completely all over what was a disappointing Charlton side. Quite rubbish, really.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, probably one of the worst teams to come to Portman Road in the last... I mean, I didn't think much of them away. Did anyone else go to the game at the Valley? We dominated for spells, but I thought the thing last night was, and at Plymouth, there seems to be a greater belief in the team. And particularly after half time yesterday, I thought that the way we kind of brought the... we sort of sat back a bit, didn't we, beginning of the second half? But the way we brought the ball out, there was much greater belief in the passing. And I thought, you know, I thought we generally looked pretty good last night. I mean, I think that my kind of take on why things have kind of moved on significantly in the last couple of games is Vellucci Shumilakoski's role in the central midfield. I think he's been excellent, I have to say.
Garvin's got 2 in 3 games now. Three in 2 games, getting the numbers right the way around. But, I've always been an admirer of his, and I think he's an excellent young player. Shumilakoski or Norris doing like the hard work and the chasing about next to him, that kind of allows Garvin to use his creative juices a bit more, and I think that's the proof of the pudding has been in the last couple of games where we've looked a lot better in midfield. Defensively, we were solid enough last night. I'm starting to warm to McCauley now. His distribution's still not the greatest, but defensively, he's looking a lot more... the ticket. Naylor is still Naylor. Him and Vols between them should never have let Bailey, wasn't it? Should never have let him turn and get the shot in. But yeah, we're starting to get there bit by bit. I was a bit of a Jim outer, I must admit, this time last week, but I'm a bit more of a Jim hum at the moment.
I'm
personally Mr. Jim, give him a bit more time.
If I'm being
honest, because We look at those great so-called big clubs who keep changing their manager. Newcastle, Tottenham, look what it's got them. So, you know, I was saying to Graham in the green room before we went on air that unless he goes and does something stupid like gets us relegated, then he should be given a couple of seasons and then look at it again. I mean, changing the manager after what? I mean, yeah, okay, quarter of the season's gone. There's still 3/4 of it to go, and any of us who saw Town beat Sunderland a few years back, a pretty abject Sunderland side that we beat a few years back, and after that they went on a run and
they started to gel and they went ended up getting promoted. I mean, I think avoiding relegation is not exactly what we're hoping for this season. I think we're hoping for a bit more than that, and I think
if we're not
in and around the playoffs at the end of the season, then certainly I think it might be goodbye time for Jim. But if you say you give him to the end of next season, that's 5 seasons he'll have had in charge then, and Well, that's not exactly cutting him straight away, is it? That's giving him more than enough time. Admittedly, the goalposts have shifted somewhat from this time last year when Marcus Evans and his investment came on board. But, yeah, he's starting to turn it around. I mean, the signs are that they're starting to gel again now. I think we need that 20-year-goal striker. At the moment, we look like we've got 20-a-day strikers. thank you for that. But I think, yeah, if we'd had even a Iwalumi or a Ebanks Blake or a Phillips or someone last night, that could have made the difference between 1 point and three.
So still, I mean, that, this is, I mean, coming back to sort of most...
Well, Cucci can think of it.
Most... Wait.
Steady on.
I think
you
might have put
if,
one of those...
If we missed chances, I think Cucci would have missed a lot of chances. Yeah. Last. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I can see... I mean, we were talking last year, weren't we, about bringing in a striker. All the way through, every kind of... You know, we're still short of a striker. Maybe the kind of... to bring back the time on tray is the fox in the box. Mm. And also perhaps the kind of big physical... front man, and we brought in strikers in the form of Kevin Lisby and John Stead, and they don't. I don't think either of them really fit either of the sort of profiles of the strikers that we all thought that we should be looking for.
Well, I thought Lisby was supposed to be the fox in the box type, but and I remember one of the things, I think it might have been Magilton or someone said at the time when we brought him in, he's supposed to be one of these players that comes alive in the box. And I've been kind of watching out for this over the course of the season, and not just last night, but in other games at Portman Road. The kind of the fox in the box opportunity has come his way. You'd think a bit of awareness and anticipation. He could have thrown himself at a ball going across the 6-yard box or been latching onto a knockdown or something far quicker than he has been. And I think it was a Crystal Palace game. There's two or three balls that flashed across the 6-yard box, and he was kind of standing there on his heels rather than on his toes, ready to gamble and throw something at it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there was that chance right at the end, wasn't there, where it sort of he was at the far post and he could have hurled himself. I would have hurled
any of us who played out front would have hurled ourselves at it. You know,
that's
what you do.
We might have missed, but we'd have still hurled ourselves at it.
We'd have hurled our stomachs at it, wouldn't we?
In some cases, yes. Lent towards it, perhaps, in some cases, and bellied it home, yeah.
Bundled it in for a yard, in my own personal case.
Yeah. Is there anything on the wires, Graham?
Yep, Pavs and Lee. What's happened to Campo over the last two games? Has he had a bust-up with the manager or the players?
I think he's just been left out because there are other more dynamic players who are being used at the moment. He was on the bench, as in sitting on the bench, although not amongst the substitutes at Plymouth. So he made the trip up there and he was sort of sat there on his own looking rather sullen, but apparently that's his kind of way. He's a bit
swarthy.
He struggled a bit against, what was the last home game, Swansea, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he had a sort of a week off and he needs games rather than no games. And
it's difficult. I mean, he's missed pre-season, hasn't he? And it's taken him a long time. But I think Shumilakowski playing in the sort of deeper central midfield role looks...
Oh, he looks very comfortable,
looks significantly better. And I think Garvan looks better for having Shumilakowski playing with him. The only problem Jim's got this week is, of course, whether to bring Norris back.
Norris,
who of course
was
playing very well.
Yeah, he was. He was my pick against Swansea, definitely. And he carried on the good work against Plymouth by all accounts, apart from obviously getting himself sent off for kicking the ball about 3 feet.
he still did the offence.
Yeah,
I actually wondered that he kicked it to the linesman because he was having a massive go at the linesman when he went off, and whether the linesman just sort of lifted his foot.
But in fairness, he looked like he was the person being fouled rather than the person doing the fouling.
It was a stupid freak. I actually thought that Norris did all right, but I didn't think he had his best game at Plymouth. It's the occasion overawed him, which I think is probably the only time anyone's ever said that about a game at Plymouth. he has looked really good. The more games he's played, the more his influence has grown,
and the fitter he's got as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you think of a midfield that's got Quinn on one side and Norris on the other side, you've got a hell of a lot of running there in the wide.
You can add Walters into that as well.
A couple of good engines, or three good engines,
But that's the thing. This is the conclusion I've kind of come to over the last 3 weeks. We've got a lot of players in similar positions, all of a very similar ability. Mm. If you look at centre midfield, we've got any two from five. On the right, you've got any one from probably three or four. Up front, similarly. But then down the left, we've got Thatcher, who admittedly is injured at the moment. Right, he's doing a fill-in job. Quinn, who's doing a fill-in job. Centre back, we've got two or three centre backs, like Tommy Smith breaking his ankle, which was something you obviously can't legislate for. But we've got relative low in quality in down the left and at the in that centre back than we have in midfield, where we were absolutely inundated with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, the left midfield thing, they have there's so many players that have been, were approached over the transfer window, and I've sort of seen, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now, it was Calija or something, some Spanish player, I reckon he got approached by us, and there was a, yeah. another a French lad playing in Germany, playing for FC Cologne, or not playing for FC Cologne, who was also, so they clearly made massive efforts to try and bring yeah, someone, just couldn't land them at the end. And there's talk yesterday, isn't there, Stevie Smith, not the poet.
Scottish fella. Under 21. Centre-back or something, isn't
he? He's a left-back. Who's kind of out of Walter Smith's plans, but apparently he's... I mean, I don't follow a lot of Scottish football, I have to admit, but...
Well, it's not worth following. Oh, have I turned into the old git? I do apologise.
or Jimmy Greaves. yeah, old Jocko land. No. but, you know, clearly we need cover on the left side, both left back. I mean, full backs generally, I think, we're a bit short. Because I mean, if Alex Bruce goes in January, as I suspect he might, because
you think he will?
Well,
something's not right there, because I've always rated old Alex Bruce, and I think he's.
I don't think he's done too much wrong, is he?
Better centre back than Richard Naylor.
I don't think he is. I don't rate Alex Bruce at all. I have to say, as a centre half. Well, I say not at all. I don't rate him that highly. That's overstretching a point, isn't it?
Don't rate him as highly as Richard Naylor.
I think Naylor's a better player than Alex Bruce at centre half.
I have to admit, I prefer Brucey at the back. Brucey bonus at the back for me.
I think the point we made last night when we were watching the game, Vulch, is that you've got two central defenders who are very similar. You've both got Naylor and McCauley, who are both pretty combative, physical, win the ball types. And one of them, alongside a cultured midfielder, centre back, would they'd complement each other more than having two of the same type.
I just think that Bruce makes too many mistakes. I know everyone accuses Naylor of making too many mistakes, but I think Bruce makes more. And a lot of his kind of diving in sort of late challenges and, you know, the kind of saving challenges are usually because he's made an error.
Yeah, they look heroic, but they...
Yeah, it's a symptom of
prevention
kind of,
better than cure.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I don't honestly think that that kind of that Richard Naylor's probably going to end up as a town centre-half in the Premier League or anything like that. I genuinely think that Jim will look at another centre half in January, and clearly he was after Ryan Shawcross. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Who is
very highly rated, isn't he? And Stoke fans thought was fantastic last season, didn't they? But Alex Bruce, you know, what was it Jim said last week, that they will make an announcement this week, and then he was asked whether Bruce was going to sign a contract, and he said, I don't know. Now, the fact that he was going to make an announcement and he didn't know he was going to sign a contract tends to suggest to me that they will let him, they will be open for offers in January because, of course, he's out of contract next summer.
Yeah.
If you look at the size of the squad, there is going to be some trimming of the squad because surely it can't go any more than it already has. How many is it in since the Marcus has taken? Marcus
well, it was eight in the 11? Summer. It was eight in the summer, wasn't
three
it?
In January.
And there was three in January Quinn, plus two went Morris back again, didn't there?
A couple of loanees. I mean, we've bought loads of players in over the last, well, since January. So
we've had a lot leave, though.
Yeah,
we have actually. I mean, you think the Legwinskis, Williams,
and Hardings, Roberts,
DeVos, Fab,
yeah, true.
So, you know, there is, I mean, yeah, I suppose there is a kind of feeling that loads of people are coming, but I suppose a lot of it was players leaving on free transfers.
Richards is another
things.
One.
Well, yeah. Richard, I mean, he's going to go permanently in January, almost certainly. Billy Clark may come back and, well, talking of foxes in the box, I mean, that may be where we,
seven goals he's got for Darlington.
Yeah, he's without a goal in four now, but he's still scored a significant number.
If you look on, when you watch Sky Sports, he's in the top half a dozen that they show on the side, isn't he? Top goal
three.
Scorers,
top three
I think. And also Jordan Rhodes as well, I mean, he's out getting a bit of match experience, or he has been, he's back now, isn't he? But, yeah, the two of them could be something contribute, and Danny Haynes now hopefully is off the field. Kerfuffle's died away a bit. He might have.
I think that's a good way of putting it. Be very careful.
Yeah. Rumour has it was the only thing he hit cleanly all season. No,
you can't say that. hopefully, anyway, that's died down. He can just concentrate on his football now, and I don't think it's a coincidence that now all of that has died down. He's suddenly back in the squad, and he's starting getting a few more minutes on the pitch. I mean, for my money, last night I'd have bought him on 15-20 minutes earlier than we did, because that fullback who got booked, gave away the penalty and nearly scored an own goal was an accident waiting to happen.
Kelly Huger. Put Haynes against him in.
It was a red card waiting to happen, wasn't
it? I suppose the thing was that we were playing well, and it looked like it was going to be a matter of time before one of our chances was put away, wasn't it, really? And then they got that goal, and it kind of changed the complexion of the game, really. It was then we were chasing the game rather than sort of just sitting back and leading.
I think it was McCauley who was looked like a World War II hero diving to smother a bomb at one of those shots at the end, didn't he? Threw himself at it.
How sick would we have been if we'd have actually lost that game? It was bad enough getting a point out of it, but if we'd have lost
Well, I can remember being on this very show the day after the Plymouth game. I think it was the day before the transfer window shut back in January, and we were all moaning about it, and it was exactly the same last night.
Was that 0-0?
Luke McCormick made a few half-decent saves, didn't he? And it was 0-0. And, last night we got a goal, but then let them in at the other end, as ever, like you said. Let the buggers scored.
Anything
here's one I assume is a tongue-in-cheek one, though I see what his point is. This is from Johnny Walters from Ipswich.
The man who has his head shaved last night, so it looked. Yeah. So he had that bandage.
Yeah, when he had his bandage on. I thought it was a sub coming on. I thought it was some blonde guy.
Anyway. They ought to start marketing John Walters' bandages in the club shop. Every week.
With a crest on, of course.
Yeah, obviously. Sponsored, you know.
He says, I think Owen Garvin has been superb over the last three matches. Does this mean he'll be dropped on Saturday?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what happens, it seems, doesn't it? Very strange. Anyway, right, here we go. BB from Ipswich. While I have some sympathy with Jim trying to knit a squad of new players together, I'm wondering how the players feel when after a good game, they can often find themselves out of the team. The most recent examples being Norris at Forest and Pablo last night. What are the panel's
thoughts?
Yeah, but
I think Norris is carrying a bit of an injury. I think that was the
But
the
didn't
thing
he say he was rested?
I think rested because he's carrying a bit
rested
of an injury.
But he also mentions Pablo, which I think Pablo's been playing well. I don't see why he wasn't.
Two goals last time out at Portman Road, wasn't it, against Swansea?
Yeah. And I thought Seb was quite disappointing yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, I thought Seb was a bit disappointing. I'm trying to think. So he would have been rested for the Forest game, wasn't he? I can't remember how he played at Forest now.
Miller was in at Forest, and bizarrely, yes, he had quite a good game there. And he was dropped the next game, so very strange, but...
He's not
to
have a good game then.
He was staying the side. Actually, we were having this debate on the way out last night. Can you bring a substitute on when a penalty's been given and then that substitute take the penalty?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because a mate of ours was arguing that you can't. And I said, well, it's no different to, say there's a foul and the guy goes off injured, then you've got to bring a sub on. And if that person who comes on is a part of the play, isn't he? Yeah. Mm. You can bring a goalie on to save the penalty. So you're saying we
should have brought Tommy Miller on.
Are you proposing the introduction of special teams to football?
Nobody else wanted to take it.
Well, yeah, no one else wanted to take it, didn't they? You're quite right.
The penalty was given. John Walters was standing nearest the ball, so he picked it up, and he started wandering towards the penalty box. Well, bloody hell, I don't want to take this. Gave it to Pablo. Pablo looked at him and went, and it was like your mate being volunteered to ask a girl out. You push up his ball. Go on, you take it. And Pablo's like, oh, thanks.
Me and Phil would say that because when we used to play together at Sunday League level, we were saying that if it had been me and him on the same team, we'd have nearly come to blows about who took the penalty.
Right, what, saying, yeah, you know. No, you take it.
No, Phil would come up from goal and say, I'm having this.
More often than not, I was told to pee off back to the other
end. There was talk, wasn't there? Well, do you remember that sort of period when... about sort of 98 when everybody was missing penalties. Dyer missed one, and everybody. And Richard Wright said that he would take them, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, well, I'll have a go. Everyone else is missing them.
I know, but it did strike us last night that nobody wanted that penalty. I turned to you, didn't I? I said, I'm going to miss this. Don't know why everyone's getting so excited.
What's happened to the classic fullback taking penalty? You know what I mean?
Frank Gallup in the late 80s.
Neil Thompson.
Phil Neal, for Liverpool. Where are they all?
He's retired, Phil Neal is.
Well, I know, that's true. And Frank Gallup, isn't he?
They've gone to the great penalty box in the sky.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Go on, another one.
Crikey, you've suddenly got a load come through. Where are we? Does Phil, Adrian from Stonemarket, does Phil have any clue who JM may be looking to bring in after Christmas? Obviously, we still need a left-sided midfielder, but surely we also need a striker and a central defender.
Yeah, well, I think we sort of covered the fact we think there'll be a central defender. Ryan Shawcross obviously looks like one. Left back, I reckon, is... if there is something in that Stevie Smith story, I still can't get the sort of not waving but drowning image away, you know, which is a bit of a worry. Left side of midfielder, yeah, well, continue. Probably another Spaniard, I would say. I don't know whether that Nano fella from... I can't think of what he's called, Cadiz, whether he ever came back again for his trial... But this fox in the box that we've been talking about for the last year.
And where do we think Thatcher's going to fit in? He's apparently not too far from Max Guinness now. I mean, I think he could be a solid enough fullback for us on the left there.
I do, but I think we're still short of cover, aren't we? Especially if Bruce does go.
But then Wright can do a job at left back. All right, not only as a stopgap because he's a right-footed player, but if Thatcher gets suspended, as he probably inevitably will, then Wright can step in for a game or two and then swap back to the other side and battle for Volts for the left.
But there again, if you lose Thatcher and Volts at the same time, as we did a few weeks ago, we ended up with Alex Bruce playing right back.
Yeah.
Now, if we lose Alex Bruce because he goes, for whatever reason, and you're left with the whoever the centre half who comes in January and Richard Naylor, we're really without a right back.
But we've got Falkenstein, but he was a centre back being played out of position.
So, yeah.
I think it was quite obvious to spot that. He was great at attacking the ball and winning a header and a tackle, but a little bit of going forward with the ball at his feet, he looked like a rabbit in the headlights.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Bruce's position was better at right back than it was at centre back.
Actually, the game I thought he played best in was when he was a holding midfield player. Right when he first came in, I thought he played really well in that role. I think he's a decent enough footballer, but I'm just not sure of him as centre half. I did overstate my point when I thought that he was
rubbish,
incredibly bad or whatever I said earlier on. That wasn't what I meant really. It was just I just don't think he's that good.
You said he was the worst player you've ever seen in your life.
Well, even worse than Graham Harvey.
Tony from Leicester, this is a text. At last, some positivity from the panel. Norris for Stead on Saturday with Walters up front. McCauley.
Yeah, that might be what. That's a good shout, I reckon.
Positivity.
Panellists.
Despite what Phil said about Bruce, he still looks on the positive side. McCauley is now looking like a decent centre half. You have to split these texts up. Agree that Bruce is overrated by the fans. His reputation on those with the days seems to rise as he continues not to play. He's no better than four.
That's often the best thing to do, isn't it, as a player? Is if the side's not doing terribly well, remain out of the team.
And then, you'll get
and then everyone back. Thinks, oh, fantastic.
Doesn't work for Dean Bowditch, though.
No. Or if you're injured, that's another thing. And everyone going, oh, I can't wait till Thingy comes back. It'll be excellent. Forgetting the fact that he was hopeless before he got injured.
Well, it just says that he's no better than fourth choice centre back and third choice fullback, in his opinion.
Well, I think he's a nice enough bloke and everything, but I don't think he's there.
But he's dreadful and shocking, is that what you were going
to say? No, worst player ever. Yeah, I'm better than him. Yeah. Go on then, what else?
Oliver North from Ipswich. As we're apparently entering a recession and the town are not doing too well on the pitch, do you think that the club could do more to attract fans before gates fall even further? That's a good one. Interesting.
Yeah,
and also, this goes back to, I promised to read this out for
go on,
for someone last week. Well, it's again, we read bits of it out. This is from Steve from North Ferriby. You must know North Ferriby. That's in hell, isn't it?
Yeah, Lee Bracey played for North Ferriby.
He also said, the price of a cheeseburger at £3.30 is unreasonable, in my opinion.
I tend to agree.
So there you go. So basically they're talking about, could the club do more to get fans in, especially during the recession?
Well, we've got an economics student with us, haven't we, Mr. P,
Come on then, Mr. P.
Harry Potter Day. Just like they had at Plymouth last week, you were saying.
Yes.
Harry Potter Day.
Setting you up for your jokes.
The Tommy Miller cloak of invisibility gag.
thank you very much.
My name's Sam. Good night. I mean, obviously the thing that brings people into football grounds is results, which will ultimately be the thing that affects the attendances. But what can they do? I mean, people always say what should the club should do more to attract fans at times of poverty. I mean, they've got quite a lot of incentives towards youngsters and things already. Yeah. I mean, what other sort of things?
I guess the part season ticket will. Rear its head again. I mean, that's always quite a popular one, especially if there's indications that this time of year or just after Christmas that the team are going to make a bit of a run for it for the playoffs or the promotion, that sort. But like you say, the results do drive the attendances. You can be any team, and if you put a decent run together and start heading up the table and look like you're going to challenge or you have a good cup run, it will generate interest and people will come and watch. It can be the best time of the economy when everyone's got money to burn, and if you're not doing very well, people won't come and watch. But on a slightly different tack, actually, it seems that they're working with a group of fans who are looking to make the block 6 in the north stand the singing area, and be a little bit more relaxed in terms of flags and standing and so on. I mean, I think that might be something that may attract some people in, but I think it's certainly a step of engaging the fans in trying to generate a bit of atmosphere, because I think the north stand atmosphere has certainly stagnated over the last few years, partly because of the seating and that you can't sit with your mate who comes on to the odd game that doesn't have a season ticket. People who sing are a bit more spread out. If you get them all congregated in one area and encourage people to bring along flags and banners and what have you, it can't hurt.
They make quite a row at the Bernabeu with their hooters. They give out plastic hooters and they make a hell of a row. I've got one. I might bring it in next week.
Yeah, well, onto the radio programme,
yes,
or to the
football. Absolutely, yeah.
I think, do you reckon they'll relax the ground regulations so we can bring flares in?
Yeah.
Proper East European flares that we set off when we score.
No, you don't still wear them, do you?
I'm not so keen on your flares idea, but Graham's suggestion of more hooters, I think, is excellent.
I'll bring in the one I got from the... I'll bring in the one from the Burma.
Kerpar, where's he got?
Go on, and thrash through a few more, because we've only got...
No, we haven't got any more. No, that's the actual...
No, we have. Go on.
You haven't.
Graham's going to read the last one now.
You
haven't got any more. I'm sorry. That's it. I can make one up.
Can I just point out that I never used to make up emails, Phil? That's
I should start making them up, and then we'll have loads and loads and loads.
We only did that a couple of times when it was really slow in the summer. And I thought they were quite quality, the ones I made up, you know. Especially the one about Phil Pritchard's celebrity stalker.
We had one last week from James Cummings, who compiled a sort of a... How we did this time last year and how we've done up to now, and I've updated it. But I mean, I've updated it because we've had three games since he sent this in. 07-08 season. This was about, oh goodness, there's quite a lot here. Play 21. This is obviously from January, I think. Play 21, 1-8, draw 9, lost 4. The same period, beginning of this season. Played 11, 1-4, drawn 6, lost 4. I need to give this to Phil to work it out. I can't work it out. It's just too complicated.
I can't
read it out, but it's basically saying how we're doing compared to this time last year.
What did strike me last
time? Since we've had the money.
I got in and looked at the table on teletext, and for all our moaning that we needed a striker to put the chances away last night, the only team to score more than us all season is Reading and Wolves.
Yeah, I know.
We're the third top scorers, and we're only the sixth or seventh... we're sixth or seventh best defensively as well, for all our moaning about the defensive situation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams who conceded more goals, and not many have scored more. So
our away record is better than Reading's, and they're third or whatever they are.
Yeah, when you look at the points
you can prove anything with statistics, I think this is especially in the Championship, because it's so up and down.
Yeah, if you look at the points that we've dropped, 2 points last night, 2 points at Sheffield Wednesday, 2 points at Southampton, if you take those... add 6 points on, we'd be up there. I think we're level points, or we'll be one behind Reading, who are third. So it is such a tight division. People who say, and you can use it again to your advantage or not, as the case may be, people who are on the side of Magilton and want to give you more and more time, you can say, oh, we're only a few points off the playoffs, we're only a few points off the playoffs, and so on. But you will be right up until quite a late stage in the season because of the kind of division it is.
Yeah.
Right, that's it then.
We're done.
You're totally well and truly done.
QPR. Can I say something about the
very quickly?
Yeah, the Ipswich Side Dive Project. They still want stuff. I'll be putting a story up on the message board on the website tomorrow. So.
Oh, well done. So keep your eye on the message board.
Yeah.
More material for the books.
Like that. Should we do scores quickly?
Quickly, very quickly.
5-1. No, not really. 2-1.
2-1.
QPR can't keep another clean sheet. So yeah, we'll go for a win. I think 1-0.
2-2 draw.
2-2. And on that note, from the bird that attacks women in Ipswich, I'll go for a 2-1 or something sad. But we should win, because I keep getting told by my partner I'm so miserable, and I actually did what everyone else did yesterday. I said, you know what's going to happen now, don't you? After we missed
the penalty. Did you say that exactly?
Yeah, almost those words.
Yeah, I think
she said, stop being so effing miserable. I'll just miss out the proper word. Okay, and on that stunning note, thanks to both Phils, thanks to the Vulture. Till next week. Have a good one, everyone. Take care and bye-bye.
Bye.